NFL experience, then this is the show for you. This is Up on Game with LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plaxico Burress.
Did you hear that? LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, Plaxico Burress?
It's a show with three of the best to ever do it on and off the field.
Live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios.
And now, here's Pro Bowlers LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion Plaxico Burress.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Up on Game, as you know. Hi, everybody. We're here today to crack the microphones and have a great conversation or two about things going on in sports. All that great thing. You know, shouts out to our 600 affiliate stations around the country. We appreciate the support. Yeah, we appreciate you being a part of us.
Round of applause.
Shouts out to Bo. He's taking over. You ready?
What up, Bo?
Are you ready? Ryan. Geez. But why did I say Bo?
I don't know.
Oh.
Everything all right over there?
Ryan.
Yes. It's okay.
Never heard of him.
You need to put some work in then, because I keep jacking up your name.
It's okay.
This is week number two that I've jacked up your name, huh? Golly.
It's all right. We're getting there.
Ryan. Plex.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a rookie once before. In fact, I was a freshman once before, and, you know, that happened to me.
That you were.
Yeah, it happened. I know who Iowa Sam is and David Gascon. Sorry, they got a little bit of tenure in with me. They're in there. They're back there. The team is here. We got a nice little show going. And listen, we got Michael Parsons coming on next segment. He will be on at 10:20, so make sure that you lock in to see that. We also will have some caller topics to put out there. But first, let's start here, Plaxico, and we'll get TJ's take on it as well. The draft, it just took place, and there are a lot of things that happen once your name is called. And it's so funny. I was talking to one of my young bucks that's in town. He's training right now. And he was talking to me about how they went out to a spot, and he had to say something to one of the crew, we'll say, just keep it vague, that, you know, this fella just got drafted by the Cowboys, which he's right. Coming on the show, so, you know, we know who that is. And the interesting thing is, when I heard him say, man, he just got drafted by the Cowboys, it kind of sunk into me. Like, man, he just got drafted by the Cowboys.
Right.
So it started to make me think, and I wanted to get your, you know, both of you guys' opinion on this, or not even opinion, but just your insight on it and your perspective on it. You know, after the draft happens, it's almost like a funeral, right? Like, nobody is there really anymore after the experience of it takes place. It dies down. What was your experience after you got drafted? Like, coming into it, you got all these people there, you go number eight. What was your experience after?
Well, my personal experience after getting drafted was, you know, I chose the opportunity to stay home with my family and enjoy the whole process and the draft with my family, and I didn't go to New York like you guys did. And I remember, like it was yesterday, you know what happens after the draft? It gets about business real quick, because the next thing that this team, the organization and the head coach and the general manager want to know, they want to know if you can really play football.
Mm.
They want to know if you can play football, because you know what? What you did in college, that doesn't matter anymore.
That's right.
We want to find out if you're worthy of the draft pick in which we chose you.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were playing, and when we got drafted, the rookie minicamp was the following week. So when I got drafted at the eighth pick, I stayed the night at home, and I flew up to Pittsburgh the next morning to do my media coverage. And when I walked through the door, you know what the first thing they did to me?
What did they do?
They handed me the playbook.
Mm.
It was like a phone book back then. I was like, well, the draft was yesterday. You got a chance to celebrate it. But the next day, it's your profession. Mm-hmm. It's your job. It becomes a business. You're your own walking CEO. You're your own company. And for a guy like myself, you know, basically coming from where I grew up at and how I grew up, to be, you know, having just everything at your exposure, you know, it can be a bit overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Because it's something that you work your whole life to get to, but at the same time, it's just a real feeling. You're like, man, I'm really out here playing professional football. But I want these guys to understand, you know, coming in after getting drafted, a great coach always told me this, Mike Tomlin, he said, gentlemen, you're always being evaluated.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what you're doing or where you're at, you're always being evaluated. And I was in my 12th year when it was the first time that I had ever heard that from a coach.
Mm.
And I was like, man, you're always being evaluated.
Mm-hmm.
It's your job, it's your profession. You're your own company as the athlete. So now it's time for you to pretty much, you have a plain canvas.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's time for you to paint your picture of what kind of player and how great you can really be.
I partied so hard. I don't even know that I remember anything else about post-draft that I did. I met celebrities. I got real tight with the tennis player. We was hanging out. I was doing photo shoots. I partied.
Right.
I mean, I'm just going to be honest. Like, so, and this is why I wanted to talk about this today, because, man, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, you know, what I should have done and things that I did do is like, okay, you have a chapter that's coming to a close, maybe even a book, maybe the book of college comes to a close. And then now you're starting a new book of your pro book. And for me, I had accomplished and had achieved so much, and for it to have led to being this high draft pick in the draft, once I had decided to be something great at the point in time that I did it, and that was like really in like my sophomore year of high school. I wanted to do great things earlier on, but it was like my sophomore year where I was like mature enough, and I said to myself, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to be great at doing it, and I'm going to be one of the best that has ever done it. I'm going to work for that and see where it gets me. And it worked. Like, all the hard work, the dedication, like, foregoing any type of, like, I didn't party very much. I remember the first time, this is some funny junk. I remember the first time I took a drink, my older brother was home from school, and gave me a sip of peach schnapps. I threw up. On contact, I threw up.
Do you think that because of the mistakes you felt you made after you got drafted into partying, that you're able to impart some of this on Micah and Jason?
Oh, absolutely.
Are they going to listen? Because it's easy to give them that information, but when you're young and you have this money, you want to have fun. You think they'll have that balance?
You know, going to a team like Dallas is going to be one of the most challenging of situations for anyone that gets drafted.
Oh, yes.
And really, it doesn't even matter if you get drafted high or not. It's more of a status deal at that point. Like, you are Dallas's number one draft pick for the 2021 draft. That's almost like going number eight. That's like going number eight to the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's like, you know, being the first draft pick for the New England Patriots. Like, I mean, maybe more so, period, because Dallas is like, that's the team that everybody pays attention to. They probably have the largest fan base.
It's not easy.
It's not. And so to me, looking at how well Micah has done, and we're going to be bringing Micah Parsons on.
Yeah, that's
on
why I brought – because I'm going to ask him the same question.
And this is why I wanted to have the conversation leading into to his
– I mean, because my draft experience is completely different.
You was like Clubber Lang.
I was so mad that it was just like, I'm going to work out the next day. I'm going to work out the next day. And so for me
– I don't remember the first time I worked out after I had got drafted.
Because – but if you think about this, the –
Plex, I came in overweight.
Plex, think about this, though. Think about this. When we were getting drafted, guys were taking trips to cities to visit teams. And so you're taking these trips.
Yep. Uh-huh.
You're missing days of working out, so you're really not in shape because you may go visit Pittsburgh on Tuesday. You fly home, and you're going to go visit Denver on Thursday or Friday. So before you know it, you visit four teams. You've missed 2 weeks of working out.
I don't recall working out after my pro day.
I
don't recall working out after my pro day.
You were having a lot of fun. I mean, I was so mad. Like, I was like, I'm going to just work hard. Every workout I did, everybody that came to the workout with us that was drafted in front of me, I wanted to show them, like, I'm going to make you quit. Yeah, that was my mentality.
I went to see every team in the top 10 besides Washington.
So you didn't work out forever.
And Arizona. Other than that, I was on a plane every other week to go see a team.
And that's why guys today, they should be in better shape because the days of taking trips because of COVID are no longer. So they were able to work out consistently.
But you know what's different? You and you talk about this all the time, even when we were coaching. It's like – you and Chad and a couple of other guys, y'all was working y'all asses off.
Yeah, we worked really hard.
Like, y'all had workout culture. Like, I feel like today's athlete, they have been turned out into being workout-aholics. Like, it's a totally different approach to working out and getting in shape and paying attention to your body. It's way more of a focus now.
Yes.
It's like an obsession piece. To the thing, it's almost is equal to the clothes
it's
you're
like
putting
taking
on,
taking your car to a car show,
whatever it is, right? But it is so important these days. So it's interesting because I was looking at, you know, what Mike has got going on, and I was looking at his IG, and he's working out. He was like he was at some place doing drills and working out and stuff like that, and I'm like, man, that now has become almost like entertainment. To watch how dudes work out. When I was coming through, when it was our time and we were coming through, first off, there wasn't any platforms that was showing us working out.
No.
That's first and foremost, right?
Absolutely not. We
had MySpace, but it was like you was just trying to connect
with
people.
It was pretty much what you learned
in
high school, what you learned in college. Now you can get on social media and be like, I like this. I'm going to try this workout.
I'm going to try it, and I'm going to record it, and I'm going to put it out there, and people are going to consume it. So I feel like it's taken on a whole new life of its own in a very positive way of how it impacts today's athlete. But I just thought it was interesting. We got Micah Parsons coming up. As a matter of fact, we're going to break now so that we can make sure that we have a ton of time to be able to talk to him. But after the draft happens, what happens next? The funeral is over. It's in the ground. The dirt is on top. The roses is growing out. Like, what happens after you're done with the draft? And, heck, is there a right or wrong answer to how you handle it? I mean, you've reached your dream. We're bringing on Micah Parsons next, new Dallas Cowboys linebacker, their first draft pick. And, yes, he is from the city of Sticks. We'll get into all of that on the other side of the break. You're listening to Up On Game with LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burr. Yeah. It's Fox Radio, baby.
City of Sticks.
We'll be right back. Y'all hear them hating on your boy.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Welcome back to the show, Up On Game. LeVar Arrington, TJ Hutchmanzada, Plexico Burris. Yeah, draft stories, post-draft stories. We'll be getting the great one, the new one, Micah Parsons on shortly. But until then, let's continue the conversation of again, I don't want to make it seem as though I poo-pooed on my opportunity and on my situation. I did. It did carry on into me being overweight for training camp because I was, you know, I had to get my contract situation together before I reported. And I just can recall I had so many welcome to the league parties that I was a part of, like, you know, family back in Pittsburgh, in D.C. I went to there was a welcome party at D.C. Live. It was still D.C. Live. It hadn't changed into I think it was VIP after that or something to that effect. Shouts out to Abdul.
Your age
stadium.
Yeah, nah, stadium is way after. Yeah, he talking about
DC Live, Republic Guards.
Yeah,
all that.
I was at all of them. Shots out to Mark Barnes.
BT Soundstage.
Like, I was in Chocolate City, and I literally was doing a party every single situation that you could think of, and it was amazing. I can't tell a lie. I look at it from this perspective too. Being from Pittsburgh, it was very black and white. There was no in between. It was very black and white. And when I say black and white, I literally mean black and white, like people wise. So I was very limited on my exposure to people. And it was kind of the same at Penn State. It wasn't very different at Penn State. So when I got drafted to DC and I got there, and I probably spent the first month and a half trying to figure out where in the world I was at.
Hey, Plex, real talk though, he is reliving draft really as we speak though, because he's iced out today, bro.
He's iced out today, Plex.
No. Like he went full in person draft experience, bro. He's iced out today.
He pulled the chain out, the bracelet, the watch,
everything.
Oh no,
y'all tripped out.
they ain't ready. They ain't ready, Vol.
He went full on draft mode for real. He's iced out today.
Yeah. You really feeling yourself this morning, huh?
Yeah.
Still ain't got no socks on.
I mean, it's the biggest thing these kids are going to have to understand is you've made it, but you really haven't made it. You reached a pinnacle, but you really haven't reached a pinnacle. This is your livelihood. So as much as you get all this fanfare now, you come in out of shape. You get injured. You don't perform to expectations of where you were drafted. All this will be a problem. And so that's where these kids really – I get it. You're young. You have a lot of money, especially in a city like Dallas. Any professional city, everybody's going to know who you are. You're not going to be able to go out and say, oh, I'm so-and-so. I go to work construction. I'm a student at this. They're going to know who you are. If you don't have your head on your shoulders and understand how you want to get things done, it's going to be tough. You're going to have peaks and valleys as far as doing the right thing and making certain mistakes. But if you're not ready to go, you won't be in the league. They move off of rookies faster than they've ever done.
Real quick.
You'll be out the league quick. And so these guys better understand, as quick as you get in there, they'll get you out quicker.
Yo, I ain't even going to front, man. I laid in the bed the night before the draft, and I'm just laying in the bed looking at the ceiling. It's like, you know, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. And I actually had doubts about myself. I'm not even going to lie. I sat there, I'm looking at the ceiling. I'm like, man, what if I'm not as good as they say I am? Like, things like that actually, you know, it crept into my mind. You know, as an athlete going into the draft, because it's so close, it's right there. You're like, I can't really believe that I'm getting ready to get drafted to fulfill a lifelong dream. And I'm pretty sure you guys have seen this 1,000 times. You know, we've played amongst some of the best athletes, professional football players, you know, that you will ever meet or witness, you know, in person, great athletes. And I've seen it over my 12 years you know, the best college football players coming out of college, highly touted, and the mental part of playing in the NFL, the mental capacity, it wouldn't let them perform
all been there, and you see so-and-so get cut, and you're like, wait. They released him?
Yeah.
Dude, Buddy could play.
Yeah.
But he couldn't take what you're saying. Mentally, it was too much.
Yeah, the mental capacity of the game wouldn't let their athletic ability show because maybe they came from a system to where, you know, they didn't have audibles.
Hey, you know what's crazy?
They just went out and just played.
We had a kid, and I want to say he went to Arkansas. He was a safety. I cannot remember his name. This dude, after the fifth day of training camp, he left. He was like, this is way harder than I thought it would be. I wanted to play in the NFL my entire life, but this is too much. He left. He just quit. He quit.
Right.
He literally walked off and quit. It was too hard. Mentally, he couldn't take it because, you know, back then, first day at camp, practice. Next day at camp, two practices. Next day at camp, two practices. Next day at camp, two practices. Get up in the morning, I can't walk, but I'm supposed to run. Right. I can't walk, but I'm supposed to run.
Right. 5 2-a-days in a row.
Hey, he couldn't take it. He was like, I'm out. I'm done. I'm going home. And literally told Marvin Lewis he didn't want to play anymore, and he went home.
I've seen it happen. Guys counting numbers, looking at themselves, and I'm not going to make this team. And guys just walk out of training camp like, I don't have a chance to make this team. And you know what? This is it's not all cracked up what I thought it was going to be. It's really tough to get out here and compete against these guys and play in the NFL.
Let's get an update from David Gascon, and then we're going to bring on Micah Parsons after that. Dave, what we got trending, my friend?
A lot of cash, guys, being thrown around at an auction today. Michael
Jordan's
game-worn jersey back at North Carolina sold today at an auction for $1.38 million.
Wow.
Same jersey that he wore back in the 1982-83 season when
people,
he won.
People crazy, Dave. People, jersey, please, man, nah, no chance.
Great cash, homie.
If you want, TJ, you can talk to our executive producer, Ryan Bershinger. He's got heavy, heavy bags invested in Dogecoin.
You're talking about? I got my game worn Super Bowl jersey.
Oh, jeez.
So he's smiling. He's smiling ear to ear because of Dogecoin now, right? Ear to ear?
Oh, yeah. He is. Oh, yeah. I think Bershinger said tomorrow's his last day here at the network, too. So
about to retire.
Let's see what happens. Guys, Major League Baseball, Cardinals activated catcher Yadier Molina from the 10-day injured list. Athletics have placed right-handed pitcher Mike Fiers on the 10-day injured list. And the Sacramento Bees report that free agent quarterback Richard Sherman's been in talks with the San Francisco 49ers, but a possible return. So stay tuned on that. Guys, back to you.
Appreciate it. And as we come out of the trending with David G, we're going to go to the newly drafted first draft pick of the Dallas Cowboys, one Micah Parsons, Cowboys linebacker Micah Parsons, who's going to do something actually I'm very, 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 very jealous of. He's going to get to wear 11 as a professional. Welcome into the show, sir.
Hey, Var, what's up, baby?
Hey, how you doing, man? We got TJ
Hutchman's out here. Hold it. This ain't no Pittsburgh. This ain't no Pittsburgh reunion.
Right.
Talking about, hey, Var. Hey. TJ and Plex on this show, too, man. You don't come and talk about, hey, Var, what's happening?
Hey, my fault. It's a PA thing, baby.
It is a PA thing.
Okay, I see how this interview going
it's
already.
It's a Berg thing. I mean, you know, it is what it is. You know, you got to throw it out there. It's a Stick City thing. I mean, you got to throw it out there, right? I mean, it just is what it is. I mean, shameless plugs.
Yeah.
Hey, Micah, let me ask you a question right now, because the conversation that we've been having coming into the show was, what happens after the excitement of the draft? What comes next? Because I've seen the video of you out working and doing the drills. What have you been doing? What has this been like for you so far?
Right now, you know, I've just been taking it all in, just making sure I stay on my grind. You know, we report the minicamp next week, so really just trying to stay in shape for that, you know, just trying. I'm in the urge to get out on the field just because, you know, I opted out. So, sure. You know, I'm just trying to do more football drills and trying to get ready for minicamp next week.
How much of that does that play a part in your hunger to want to work so hard right now, not participating in the season this year?
It increases my hunger a lot. You know, it makes me hungry for much more. And it makes me very excited and very, you know, really hungry just to prove myself and, you know, try to be the new face of the franchise and things like that. So, very excited.
So, going to Dallas, Micah, what's up? This is TJ. Going to Dallas, obviously, one of the iconic franchises in the NFL. That's like a dream come true for a ton of players. You're the lucky one that drafted in the top 10. They already have two good linebackers. So, as soon as you get there, all eyes are going to be on you. Have you let yourself get distracted, enjoy the moment a bit too much? Or, like you said, are you just focused on, I got to be the best player I can be. I got to go prove them right, prove myself right. Or have you had some fun also mixed in with working?
Because I had a lot of fun when I got drafted.
Yeah. I mean, of course you got to have fun mixed in with working. I mean, I don't think it ever be like too much work, you know. But at the same time, I know what the goal is, and I think that's even better to have two people there. You know, the competition level be high, gives you a great opportunity to learn. You know, those guys, these vets, been there for four plus years for both of them. So, you know, I think it's a terrific opportunity to look at it. You know, I got guys in front of me that's going to teach me the game, teach me the ropes. You know, me and Jalen is real close. You know, we connect all the time through text messages. His excitement to have me out there playing next to him. So, you know, going into this, it's like really exciting. You know, of course I'm having fun. You know, I think everybody has fun at 21, 22. So, but,
yes,
you know,
indeed.
I stay focused on the grind when I need to.
What type of fun, Micah? Mm-hmm. Can you disclose what type of fun?
beep. You know, Var, well, it wasn't your type of fun. You know, you do double what I do.
Oh,
when you was 22.
Wow. Oh, wow. Really?
That's good. We learn from the mistakes of those that come before us.
You asked the question, Var.
Exactly.
Yeah, but he definitely turns it around on me. Go ahead, Plex. Ask another question. Let's get out of here. Let's get away from this.
hey, TJ, man, I don't know what why we deserve to be around all these Penn State guys the last couple of weeks. But
man, you know how many times,
you know,
I've heard Stick
last
City
week and then Micah this week.
Because we didn't get a first rounder from Utah or Oregon State or Michigan State.
Oh, and y'all got two, huh?
Sorry.
Hey, but Mike, I will say this though, man. on a more serious tip, I've had this conversation with LeVar several times, and you know, for me, playing against LeVar, being at Michigan State and him at Penn State and wearing number 11, you know, LeVar, when I was playing against him, you know, he was the best linebacker that I had ever seen play.
Wow, thank you.
And to have the testicular fortitude to walk into Penn State, into the equipment window, and ask for number 11 is pretty ballsy by a young man. Did you feel any pressure to be able to go out and perform and to wear number 11?
No, I didn't feel no pressure. I feel like I always knew I had potential. I wouldn't say, you know, I'm not going to say I wanted to be just like LeVar. It just so happens we play similar. But, you know, I tell I had the potential to be a great linebacker at Penn State. So I think the expectation was high for other people. But I think for myself, like, that's what I was supposed to do.
Yeah, you know, the truth of the matter is that we strategically thought through the approach of your branding, and just what it came down to is, for one, I knew how gifted he was, Plex. Like, I saw him play. I you know, he was a tailback. Right. He's running back kickoffs. Like, this big diesel
dude. This dude is huge.
It's real weird, like, to me, how sneaky he is in terms of how big he is. Like, you got to get up on him. Like, his hands are big. Like, he got prehistoric male feet, like stuff like that. Like he would be able to hunt pterodactyls and like, you know, raptors and stuff like that. Like, he was built like primate style. I don't get it. But being seriously, Micah, like, coming into the situation, you not only knew you could rock the sticks and be good at doing it, if you're being honest, and be honest, you knew you could exceed what it was, and you started off by leading the team in tackles as a non-starting freshman, which was the first thing that has ever that's ever happened at Penn State at linebacker. You?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I would say I had the mindset, you know, obviously having your support such early on kind of motivated me to want to get on the field and, you know, push myself. And then, you know, having expectations from being from PA and going to Penn State, there obviously comes with another expectation. Mm-hmm. So my mindset already was coming in was, you know, how do I get better? How do I get on the field? And, you know, it was really like nothing could get in the way between the end goal and what I was doing. So, you know, that was kind of like the mindset I had coming into it.
All right, mindset going into your rookie year, and I'll say this, I believe you stay healthy, you'll be rookie of the year, because linebackers, you get a bunch of tacklers, they always have a great chance of getting it in. So is that a goal going in as a rookie? And then the second part is, talk to me and Plex and the listeners about the mentorship that LeVar has given you and how it's helped you evolve as a player and as a person.
Yeah, obviously as a rookie, you know, going in, that's obviously the end goal, to be rookie of the year and, you know, find my way to become a starter and, you know, have a winning season. Cause I feel like as long as you're balling out and you're winning games, all that stuff is going to fall into place for yourself, you know, being within the team. And then obviously, you know, LeVar, physically, you know, I got the edge on him cause he don't want to do it no more. But,
that's true.
Definitely mentally, from a mental aspect, you know, teaching me from his mistakes and, you know, from his past and what he done wrong and the things he done right and the things that, you know, he wish he could get back. Just taking in all those long lessons, talks.
Long talks.
Hear, you know, but honestly, it was all, like, well worth it, you know. He let me, like, expand my mind. Wider than I ever thought before, and just lets me think outside of the box a lot more. You
know, hey, I've been a part of them long talks too, Micah. I've been a part of them.
Oh, my goodness.
He thinks outside the box more than anybody I've ever met, you know, so.
There is no box.
There is no box. Yeah.
Very intelligent dude and very smart and really just helped me become just a smarter person.
You, you, know, you want to expand on that on the chess set?
yeah. You know what happened on the chessboard. Stop lying to the viewers and the people.
Oh my gosh!
So, who won the last match?
Hey, you're only as good as your last game. That's what they say.
There y'all go.
That's what I tell them.
Hey, Michael, with all due respect, man, I know you from Harrisburg, and I want to say that, you know, the first time I flew into Harrisburg to the airport, man, I thought I was walking through a 7-Eleven. I was like, this is the airport? I mean, you walked in through there so quick, I thought I was in a convenience store, man.
And that's
that's
outside of Philly, that's the big airport in PA.
Oh, my goodness.
Pittsburgh.
That is funny. But, yo, man, I really think, you know, yourself – and Jalen Smith, man, y'all going to be special. But do you prefer to play inside or outside?
Great question.
I prefer to play outside just because it's a lot more to do. You honestly, if you go cover three, you could sky and you become the middle guy anyway. But, you know, it's just a lot more opportunity to get more one-on-ones and more blitzing opportunities, I think. But, you know, first year, just going to listen to Dan Quinn and see where his vision is for me. You know, he's one of the great minds of the defense, and we're going to go from there.
Micah, real quick before we let you go, and we really, really appreciate you coming on. One of the things that Dallas is getting that they may not have been aware of, or maybe they are aware of, is just your tireless and just heartfelt, you know, actions and movements with impacting the community. It's something that is very near and dear to your heart. I've gotten to know how much it matters to you about giving young people opportunities that may have not have had those opportunities in front of them. Just talk a little bit about how important community service has been for you, and has that been a conversation that you've had with the organization since getting drafted?
Yeah, David telling me about the bowling alley right up the road where we could do something because they always wanted to link with the Dallas Cowboys. I was like, you know, you got the right guy. You know, I always wanted to do a bowling event. But, you know, I just think it's so important because at the end of the day, you know, the youth is our future. You know, we are all here for a reason. And it's our job to give back to the community and, you know, reach out to the youth and tell them that, you know, it's okay to be bigger than your environment, bigger than, you know, other people around you because you got to learn how to separate yourself. And a lot of people, we got stories that we could tell just to reach somebody. Like, people, like, I go back home and people tell me, like how important my story and my journey is, and it gives hope to people. You know, when you go back to these communities, you give these kids hope. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the best things you can have is hope.
Man, that's a beautiful thing, man. This is Micah Parsons, number 12 overall pick. That's a little bit further down from where I was drafted, but that's okay. Just thought I'd throw that in there. I also thought I'd throw in the fact that TJ Hushmanzada bet that Jason Owe would run a faster 40 time than you, Micah. I bet on you, and I lost. So I just wanted to make sure, since that has been brought up on this show several times, that you'd have an opportunity to hear it on this show, that TJ said he saw y'all both out there running. He was like, Jason was going to get you. How so you feel
was,
about
so,
that?
So what was the bet, though?
Nothing.
It was a gentleman's bet.
Nothing.
It was a gentleman's bet.
It's for thank, all this ice goodness. He has on right now.
Thank goodness I didn't bet no money or no so chains or nothing.
I just couldn't believe when I walked out on the field at Golden West, Micah, and I saw both of y'all running, and I'm like, wait. As I got closer, I didn't realize how big y'all were. I thought y'all were receivers. And I started getting closer, and I'm like, these dudes are getting bigger and bigger. Mm. I just couldn't believe how fast y'all were running.
At the size
they are. At the size that you guys are. It tripped me out.
Well.
That boy Jason's a freak. Y'all can't count him in, man.
We can't?
No, you can't. You can't factor him into that.
He's illegal.
We now know he is one of them. Hey, Micah, we appreciate you coming on the show, man. We look
appreciate
forward to
your time, brother.
Coming back on and updating us on your progress as the season goes on. Love you, man. Think that you've done an awesome and amazing job. So from a personal standpoint, so the world could hear it, I'm super proud of you on a personal level. And on a professional level, I'm super excited to see what you're able to do because I think you could be one of the great ones to ever do it, man.
Thank you, Var. I love
absolutely.
You, brother.
Hey, man. All right. Go out there and handle your business, baby.
All right.
I will.
Up on game. We'll be right back. I'm LeVar Arrington. That's TJ Hushmanzada. That's Plexico Burris. And, yeah, we just had a nice little conversation with Micah Parsons. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk about another rookie. We're going to switch positions, go to the quarterback position. We're going to go to a market that Plexico Burris is very familiar with. You're listening to Up on Game. We'll be right back, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Up on game.
I like
up on game.
Sam, I got to give you a credit, man. I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
King of New York, Mello.
Yeah.
I like what you're doing. Light skin. Hello. Yeah. All right. Okay. Light I see skin, where you're hello. Going. Yeah. Yeah.
Y'all got the whole thing going on.
Yeah, man. I mean,
today
we moving on to New York.
Var bling, iced
bling,
out.
Bling.
You know.
Yeah, so man. I see. Hey. I feel you.
Plex boy is iced out. I wish you could see this.
I'm just moving like I'm moving in the direction we're going in. That's all.
Oh. You know what I mean?
I just came in feeling like
I'm with you when you're right. I'm with you when you're right.
You know what I mean?
Well, keep on rocking then, my brother.
I'm just saying. I just move as though I move like I'm moving in the direction we're going in. That's all. I just come in here looking like I'm a superstar because, you know, well, that's kind of what we're becoming. You know, it is what it is. Hey, listen, that was a great conversation with Micah Parsons. If you missed any of that, make sure you go check us out on our podcast. Anywhere where you go, you know, download your podcast, you know, shows, check us out. Give us a rating, you know, and subscribe. Let us know. We just had a conversation about how well the show is performing. Let's keep it going. Super excited to continue to service you guys in the way that we do by bringing you some pretty cool content. So anyway, on the other side of this break, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to reset the show, and then we're going to talk about Zach Wilson handling the pressure of New York City. We have one person here that won a Super Bowl in that tremendous city, and it will be interesting, Plex, to get your perspective on this because, well, some people have not fared as well as you and Eli and AP and all of those guys, especially on that Jets team. So, but with that being said, we're going to take a quick stop. And once we come out of that stop, I want to know Zach Wilson. I mean, he looks pretty young. Like, I mean, does that play a part in all of this? He looks pretty young. Looks like he's like 13, 14 years old or whatever.
That has nothing about the way how you look.
It has nothing to do with it.
Can he play quarterback?
They say lions in the wild that don't have the same type of manes, smaller manes. They're just not as respected in the Serengeti as much. But I don't know. We're going to talk
about
it.
They are not.
Well, you know how that goes. Anyway, yeah, you're listening to Up On Game. That was TJ Hushmanzada that just roared. Plexico Burris is more of like I don't know, more of a rhinoceros type of sound when he does his thing.
You trying to say my neck long?
Tricks on you.
You trying to say my neck long?
Man, you listening to Up On Game. We'll be right back.